Now let us look again tonight at another little episode of Abraham. Look at chapter 17 of the book of Genesis. Now those of you who were here on Sunday evening will remember we were looking at chapter 16, which was a very brief chapter, but a very searching chapter, as you recall. I trust we all laid it to heart, learned the lesson or the warnings that come from chapter 16. But now as we come into chapter 17, you'll notice it's the other side of the coin. It's a little brighter when you come to chapter 17. Chapter 16 was a very dark, dark time in the history of Abraham when he made that great mistake where he listened to Sarah, introduced that old Babylonish practice, and in the energy of the flesh tried to promote the things of God. And the awful result was this: all he produced was an Ishmael, with all the troubles that have come ever since. Now look at chapter 17. We'll read a verse or two at the beginning of the chapter. And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. Thou shalt be a father of many nations, neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. I will make thee exceeding fruitful. I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generation, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. We'll pause there in our reading. Again, I remind you that try and get some time at home to read the whole of the chapter. Now, it's an amazing thing. We saw how in chapter 16 that Abram made that great mistake in seeking in the energy of the flesh to promote the things of God. This seems to be a hard, hard lesson for a great number of Christians to learn. That God is quite capable of promoting his own work in his own way. If you and I have faith to believe God, we should have the patience of faith to wait God's time. I know there was a number here on Sunday night who took note of the fact of almost my closing statement that should remember that God's delays are not God's denials. Now, sometimes we think God should work quicker than he does. We want God to do this and do that in our time and to do it in our way. But whatever God decides to do, he'll do it his way and do it in his time. That's one of the lessons we're to learn from chapter 16, that we must wait God's time. Now, if the promised seed then is to inherit the promises, that seed must come in God's power. Had to wait till, as it were, that Abraham, so far as the flesh was concerned, was dead. And Sarah's womb was dead. They couldn't produce the promised spiritual seed. But when it came the time that man was unable, so to speak, in his own energy to produce, And that was the time when God steps in and he says, yes, you'll have a son. And Sarah will be the mother. Now, it's an amazing thing then when you come to chapter 17, when Abram was 90 years old and nine, he's 99 now, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him. Now, it's an amazing thing when you study at home, don't do it now, but read it at home and just kindly take a note of every time in this chapter that mention is made of the covenant. Now, I think you'll find the covenant is mentioned about 13 times in this one chapter. Therefore, it seems obvious that what God is dealing with in this chapter is the covenant. My covenant, the everlasting covenant, so on. So the chapter is dealing with the covenant. But then, not only so, but you'll find in this chapter references made to the fact of God speaking. We find it there in verse 1. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him. You get it again in verse 3. And Abram fell on his face and God talked with him. Again in verse 9. And God said unto Abram. Again in verse 15. And God said unto Abram. Again in verse 19. And God said. See, here is a chapter then where God is speaking to Abram. But does it strike you as being strange? The line between chapter 16 and chapter 17, you have 13 years that are blank. Seems a complete slice out of Abraham's life. 13 years from the time he made his mistake as recorded in chapter 16 until you come to chapter 17 and the Lord said unto him. I believe you like me, you would like to know what Abraham was doing those 13 years and what was he thinking. Now during those 13 years that little boy was born and was growing up. He was watching his only child grow up. I suppose Ishmael was a bit spoiled. I'm sure he was. And Abraham would be partly to blame for that. But could you blame him? You see, he didn't yet know all the details regarding the seed of the son that was to be produced. Oh, he knew that God had promised him a seed. But it's only when you come to chapter 17 that many of the details are fitted in. So lying between chapter 16 and chapter 17, you have 13 years. And no record of any communication between God and Abraham during that time. Now, you know, it may be it's not 13 years with you or 13 years with me, but isn't it so strange how we can get out of touch with God? Is it a daily thing with us that we hear God saying something? Now, I know that you can get a lot of nice little tidbits off the calendar. Thank God for every calendar that can give a little help to people day by day. I've seen calendars in strange places. I don't care where they are, as long as somebody can read them. But let me say this. If we're only going to depend on what's on the calendar, we're going to lose out an awful lot. The calendar should only be something to direct you elsewhere. You see, the whole thing is, brothers and sisters, in the Christian life, we should be ready to lend our ear to what God is to say. In chapter 16, you remember what he did? He gave his ear to his wife. He listened to her and he made a mistake. In chapter 17, after 13 years that are blank, God in his grace and in his mercy is still dealing with Abraham. We can thank God for his grace. When Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him. And I'm quite sure at that time he was ready to listen to what God had to say. Perhaps he was longing for it. It must have been a crisis in the life of all these Old Testament people when God broke into their lives. For example, that day when Moses was away in the hinder part of the desert. Have you ever thought of Moses? When he was 40 years of age, he decided it's time for me to do something, and he tried to do it in the energy of the flesh and failed. And for 40 years, he's away there in no man's land, so to speak, backside of the desert. I often wonder what his thoughts were, day by day, knowing who he was and how he was raised. And all of a sudden, one day, God says to him, Moses, Moses, take the shoes from off thy feet, the ground whereon thou standest is holy ground. God broke in. But you see how long he had to wait before he heard God speak. I'm sure it was a great day when he lent his ear and heard the message from God. It must have been a great day for Abraham here, as recorded in chapter 17, when again he heard the voice of God. His mind would go back to the times when God had spoken to him already. Perhaps he was beginning to wonder, has God left me? Have I made a mistake? But now the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, and I want you to watch what he said, I am the Almighty God. Now that was a new revelation. God had never been revealed before under that name, which speaks for a particular character. I am the El Shaddai. I am the Almighty God. Our brother Lacey, some long time ago in the Bible class this Sunday morning, went through various names of God. I think this was one of them he mentioned. Here's the El Shaddai, the Almighty God. And you see, as the Almighty God, he's both able to say what he's going to do and able to do it. See, if God decides a thing's got to be done, then God is able to do it. Here is the Almighty God breaking in, as it were, to the life of Abraham. And Abraham's got to learn now that if this seed is going to be produced, the Almighty God knows how it's to be done. So he reveals himself to Abraham as the Almighty God, the El Shaddai. That is the source of Abraham's blessing. Here was God's remedy, of course, for Abraham's failure. Now, sometimes we fail to grasp that our God is the Almighty God. You know, I sometimes wonder about these men who get into office. It's true what our brother was saying, we've got to pray for them. The Bible tells us that. But some of these dear fellows, when they get into office, might you think they were running the whole world? They could hardly run a train from New York to Miami. But they want to run the whole world. And the way they speak, I take this fellow down here in Cuba, Castro. I don't suppose he could run a flea market. Yet he's had control of Cuba for about 25 years. But you see the mess he's made of it. These fellows think they're running the whole world. They would shake their fist in the face of Almighty God and try to defy God. Brothers and sisters, God must be looking over, and we say it reverently, he looks over the battlements of heaven, and he must have them in derision. As he looks down and sees them, they're like a lot of little grasshoppers on the face of the earth, trying to tell him what he's to do. You and I should learn that our God is the Almighty God. And God's plans will be brought to fruition, whether it's with the individual or with the nation or with the nations, the whole world. He's the Almighty God. But now he's saying here, I will. I am, he says, and I will make, and I will establish, and I will give, and I will be, and I will bless. Back in chapter 16, it's what Abraham was going to do. chapter 17, God says, it's what I will do. Do you know that's when we come to prayer? Whether it's private prayer or public prayer like this, that's the one thing that should grip us, should realize it's what God can do. That's why we come to God in prayer, knowing what God can do and what God is able and willing to do. But here he begins to speak of the covenant. It's an amazing thing then how this covenant is mentioned so many times down through this chapter. Notice, of course, the scope of this covenant. Reading from verse 4, see what he says there. As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. Now, when God says the covenant is with him, that covenant is established. Thou shalt be a father of many nations. I ask you, has Abraham become a father of many nations? Yes, in the literal, physical sense he is. For example, take Ishmael, who was his son. Think of all that has sprung from Ishmael. Think of all the Arab groups today. Think again of those that have sprung from Isaac, he who was born Sarah. Remember, Isaac had two sons, Esau and Jacob. Each of these in turn had 12 sons, and each of those 12 sons became leaders, kings, rulers, call them what you like, figureheads of 12 different sections of nations. Think again of all the children that were born to Abraham from the lady who was called Keturah. Watch his descendants then through Sarah, through Hagar, and through Keturah. Has he become the father of many nations? Of course he has. Spiritually, see what has happened. Now he said then, his covenant is with him. And thou shalt be a father of many nations, neither shall thy name any more be called Abram. Now here's where he gets his change of name from Abram. Thy name shall be Abraham. Now we have four new names introduced to us in this chapter. The name of God, the Almighty God. He was never known by that name before. Abraham becomes Abraham. Actually, it's been pointed out by other men who were scholarly men that what God did here with Abraham was he put part of his own name in Abram's name. Part of the name of Jah. And it's put into Abraham's name. And then again, another has her name changed when you come down to verse 15. We always refer to it as Sarah, but notice before she was Sarah, she was Sarai, S-A-R-A-I in our English language, Sarai. But now she's to be called Sarah. She had a change of name. And then when you come to verse 19, and God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. Now you see, here are four new names introduced to us in this chapter, each of them carrying a message. But now the person associated with the scope of the covenant is Abraham. And then mention is made of his posterity. The covenant is guaranteed to the succeeding generations. Then mention is made of the possession. You see, in spite of all the trouble in the Middle East today, the fact is that God has promised this land. Verse 8, and I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. God has promised it to them. And the day will come when God will establish them in that land. It's not God that has established them there just now. They've gone back there in unbelief. But the day will come when God will overthrow their enemies and God will establish them in the land. In fact, those that are back in the land just now, you must admit with me, are only the Jews. And that's only a particular little section of the nation that came from Abraham. But when God puts them back in the land, it will be the representatives of the whole nation. Romans 11 says all Israel shall be saved. They'll come from every tribe. And God knows exactly where they are. And God will have representatives of every tribe back in the land when he establishes them in the land that he has promised to them by covenant. Now, there's another interesting thing in this chapter. We'll just make mention to it and we'll have to finish because time's gone. There's the seal of the covenant. Now, don't be embarrassed and don't think yourself ignorant of these things. I sat in a meeting on one occasion when there was about 100 men there. And one man who's a very clever man with letters to his name, he arose and asked a question of the man who was in charge of the Bible study about this very matter. It's a difficult thing perhaps to deal with in public, but this great chapter is dealing with the sign of the covenant or the seal of the covenant, which was circumcision. And someone went, well, what has that got to do with us today? It's got a lot to do with us today. Because you see, after all said and done, circumcision back there in the Old Testament was the sign of God's claim upon his people. It was a physical sign, and it was a sign of God's claim upon his people. It marked them out as being different from other people. But when it comes to us today, we should go over, get your concordance, and go over the different places where this is mentioned. And you'll discover this, that back in the book of Exodus, chapter 6 and verse 12, mention is made of the circumcision of the lips, a man of uncircumcised lips. In Deuteronomy, you have the circumcision of the heart, Deuteronomy 10:6. Then in Jeremiah, chapter 6, verse 10, you have circumcision of the ear. Now, when you come to the New Testament, Colossians 2:11, it's called the circumcision of Christ. That's where you and I are brought in. The significance seems to be this. Circumcision of Christ means the spiritual circumcision, which we experience because of our identification with him. Physical circumcision identified those people as being members of that family that descended from Abraham, becoming a nation. It was the sign, it was the seal. And they had no dealings with those uncircumcised Gentiles. But now spiritually, you see, there's to be circumcision of the heart, circumcision of the ear and the heart and the lips. Identified with Christ, it's the seal, it's the mark that we belong to him. And you see, when all said and done, Abraham has got to give his ear first of all to what the Lord is saying, and if he had to listen to what God is to say, so therefore you and I should listen. And every time you get that in this chapter where the Lord spoke, God said unto Abraham, each time it said, he introduces something else pertaining to the covenant. Shall we pray? Father, we thank thee again for an evening hour spent with thy people. We think of the prayers that were offered, prayers of thanksgivings for answering prayer, and prayers of request. Oh God, we do pray that in mercy thou wilt look down upon everyone here tonight and upon each family circle that's represented in this assembly. And we pray also for the people that come in on a Sunday morning. Oh God, may it be that even before the end of the year we'll see further blessings here. Souls getting saved, backsliders restored, and thy believing people revived. Be with each of us now. Take us home in safety for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen.